The time at 4 minutes past nine.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report with Paul Ramo at his usual position running the board. Well, with Education Minnesota Week, everybody else calls it MEA, a couple different nights were athletic events were held. Going to go through a few football scores. There were only about five schools in the state that played football on Tuesday, and one of them was Lackawanna Valley, a game that you heard with Paul Ramo and myself. And great second half, good hard-hitting football game, and the Eagles came out on top 34-22 over Lakeview. And then to Wednesday night, a game that you heard on KLQP radio, Mineota over Dawson Boyd, 50-6, big second half there. Bold over Canby, 40-6, and kind of an upset, McRae over Yellow Medicine East, 7-6. Slugfest, Albany 43 and Montevideo 42. Minnewaska picked up their second win over Melrose, 28-6. TMB, Tracy Milroy Ballatin, 40. RTR, Russell Tyler Ruthen, 14. New London Spicer lost to Annandale, 29-19. And ACGC over Benson, 57-13. Well, we're going to turn the calendar back to Tuesday night when the Eagles played Lakeview. Great way to finish the season, Tony.
Yeah, it was end of the regular season, like you said, and seniors' last home game and senior night, and it was a beautiful night for a football game, considering what we were dealing with the week before on Thursday and Friday. It was a beautiful night, and ended up the regular season 3-1 on our home field, so that's a positive to look at. And we were on a short week too. We were supposed to play Thursday, but ended up playing Friday afternoon. Then we had practice. Really, the only practice that we had was Monday, and Monday's practice was a little different in the fact that we had conferences, parent-teacher conferences, out to the high school. So it was myself, and then the players. The rest of the coaching staff was in at conference time. So we got out to the field a little bit on Tuesday, about 5 o'clock, and went through some walkthrough stuff, and I really think that was beneficial for us. But it was a back and forth football game through the first three quarters. We had taken the lead. We actually had them go a 3-and-out, and then Dylan Keimig had a nice punt return that got us onto their side of the field, and we were able to push one across. Caden Molden with the Tebow wedge, that we call it, to make it 6-0.
That's Paul's favorite play.
Yeah, it's a mass of humanity in there. And then they scored. They responded with a score of their own. They went for two and did not get it. So at the end of the first quarter, it was 6-6. We then, into the second quarter, Davis Patzer with a 2-yard run to put us up 12-6. Then they scored just before half. I believe it was like a minute 35 or 2 minutes, somewhere in there, to go, and they scored. They ran a trick play on us, and we had a little miscommunication in the secondary, and talked about that at halftime and figured out, what we need to do if that were to come up again. And I thought we had a couple of nice opportunities before the half there for some big plays on a couple of trick plays of our own. Unfortunately, we weren't able to execute. Takes us into halftime. We got the opening kickoff, I believe, in the third quarter. I don't believe we scored on that drive necessarily. But midway through the third quarter, Molden was open in the right corner of the end zone from Davis Patzer. That was actually a play that we had just put in the week before. with the conditions against Mineota, we decided not to use it. But that was a play that put us up. And then the two-point conversion was good, so we were up 20-14. Then they answered back with a pass of their own to make it 22-20. And then the fourth quarter, we really did a nice job of being able to, we got a turnover, we got a kind of a hard squib kick that we were able to recover after we had scored. So Landon Weber was open in the flat from 18 yards out and from Davis and went for two and got that one. So now the score is 28-22. And like I said, on that next kickoff, we squibbed it kind of hard and got into no man's land there in their formation, and we were able to recover it, and we scored on that play as well. Molden again with a 22-yard reception from Davis to make the score 34-22. So, you know, we've talked about turnovers all year long and how they've kind of plagued us. Well, guess what? We won the turnover battle 3-0. We got two fumble recoveries and an interception to actually end the game. Davis Patzer with an interception. It looked like it was about on our 15 or so yard line. And what was nice, you know, being up two scores, it wasn't maybe as important, but we were able to run out the final 4 or 5 minutes of the clock with a couple of nice runs with Landon Weber up the middle, and then we got into our heavier package and TJ Mitchell with a 30-yard run to allow us to kneel it down. So, you know, it was, like we said, 3-1 on our home field. Nice way to end it off for the seniors. So the seniors spent, you know, it was a relatively long game. Anyway, we were sitting in the coach's office after everyone had gone in, and those seniors were still signing those cards at 5 minutes to 11. They were still signing them. So that was kind of a neat thing. I guess they had done that in the past. We haven't done that last number of years, but we'll have to see if that's something that we continue to do. Seemed to be very well received. Stats-wise, we had some big plays. Pretty consistent in the run game. You know, we were over 300 yards as a team. Davis Patzer was 12 of 20 for 181 and 3 touchdowns. Caden Molden was 0 for 1 throwing the ball. Rushing the ball, TJ Mitchell had 10 carries for 64 yards. Landon Weber had 13 carries for 46 yards. Davis Patzer had 3 carries for 10 yards and a touchdown. Receiving, Caden Molden had 7 receptions for 133 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm missing rushing. Molden also had 2 carries for 4 yards and a touchdown as well. Caden Kessler had 1 catch for 27 yards. It was a big catch to get us starting on that first drive of ours. Dylan Keimig had a catch for 3 yards. Defensively, I thought, you know, they're not necessarily, at least in our eyes, a team that was a one-win team. I mean, the section is pretty comparable. You know, you take a look at the section 3 through 8, they're all pretty comparable. But, you know, they've got some speed. They've got some younger kids that are coming up and playing here. But I thought defensively we did some nice things as well. Caden Mortensen had 7 tackles, 3 of them for loss. He played a nice game. He's really starting to get some tackles for loss here the last 3-4 weeks. He's done a nice job with that. Caden Molden, we've moved him to linebacker, and that's really been a benefit for our defense. He had 4 tackles, 3 of those for loss. TJ Mitchell had 4 tackles. Dylan Keimig had 3. Caden Kessler had 3 tackles, and then he was also involved with 7 assists and a fumble recovery. Davis Patzer had 2 tackles and an interception. And Tygan Allpress, who was the one flying down, I believe, on that on the kickoff, recovered that fumble. So, you know, we wanted to end the season, end the regular season, with some momentum going into the postseason. We've been talking about the tackles and the big plays and the turnovers. Well, we won those battles, and we were able to come out with the win.
Yeah. Well, I know during the game, especially in the third and fourth quarter, Paul Remo, during a break or something, he would say, gosh, this is a long game. But they probably threw the pass probably almost 40 times.
Yeah.
And every time there's an incomplete pass, the clock stops. And there was a number of timeouts because of injuries. There was some good, hard hitting for two teams with not winning records that they were really out there playing. The especially the seniors, this is their last home game, and man, there was some great hard hits.
Both teams were getting after it. Yeah, they threw the ball a lot, but I thought up front defensively, our four down linemen and sometimes three down linemen did a nice job of getting pressure. He had scramble quite a bit,
yes.
And he threw for over 200 yards. Well, you know, when you're scrambling, it's tough to, you know, guard somebody all the way around the field. And what I like to talk about is for the defensive backs, their best friend is the defensive lineman. Because if they can get pressure, they can, you know, the ball has to come out early.
Yep.
And for the D lineman, their best friend is some coverage so that they can get. So it was kind of working hand in hand a little bit on Tuesday night. So that was fun to see him running around and us running around trying to get him.
Yeah, he probably had over 200 yards of scrambling behind the line of scrimmage that never counted in the books for rushing.
Yeah, I think he slept pretty well that night.
So that was a great way to finish your regular season. Anything else about that game?
No. Talking about those five seniors, Peyton Rademacher, Cale Benson, TJ Mitchell, Caden Molden and Caden Mortensen, they've been through with the program all the way through, and there was a bigger number as things started off, and as time goes on, the numbers became less and less. They were down to five, but five very productive, five very good leaders, whether we're talking vocally or just doing the right thing in the classroom or what have you. So it was good to see them go out, and there was some emotion from those guys afterwards. And that's okay. Now obviously we turn our attention to the postseason here on Tuesday.
Yeah, so let's go through that section alignment.
Yeah, so obviously you take a look at the section, and Mineota's number one, and Bold is number two. Mineota beat Bold during a regular season. Then what, three and four got to be, we were kind of thinking that we were going to be going to Dawson, because Canby has a better, or had a one more win in the regular season. But as the QRF ratings came out Thursday morning, it turned itself into now Dawson had jumped Canby because of the head-to-head win. And so with Dawson being three, Canby was now four, we're five, McRae is six, YME is six, seven is McRae, and eight is Lakeview. So we got our Canby film and our Canby scouting reports from a couple weeks ago and got to work on that Thursday morning. We've played some really good close games with them over the last handful of years, and I don't expect this to be any different. It was a close one down there that night. Unfortunately, we came up just a little bit short. We're excited for that opportunity to go back down there.
Yeah, talk about hard hitting. That was a hard hitting game as well.
That was.
And actually, you played very well against them, and they kind of lucked out at the very end. But that's football.
Yep, they had that 98-yard drive or whatever it was, and helped out with a penalty or two. And I think our guys feel like there's some unfinished business there. And we sat there for a while, and we came off the bus after halftime with a lot of energy and a lot of a lot of grit and a lot of go get them. And I thought we matched them, and you know they've had a good year, and we're excited to go back down there and give ourselves an opportunity.
Okay. Well, Paul and I will be there on Tuesday night broadcasting, so it's always fun to watch a good rivalry game, which has, like you said, in the last few years has really become that.
It has.
So, well, thanks for the report.
You bet. Thank you.
Best of luck on Tuesday, and we'll hear all about it again next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
That's Tony Smith on football. And we'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Girls, get the friends together and head on over to Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson this Thursday for a ladies' night out. Jim is ushering in the holiday season with a fun evening filled with prizes, food, and topped off by a great sale. Your first item will be 30% off, and the rest of your purchase, excluding a few things, will be 25% off. Judy Blue Jeans will be 20% off all evening. That's at Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, ladies' night out, this Thursday, October 26th. From 5 to 9 p.m. See you there and have fun.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, ground chuck, just $5.30. Last week before the markup, orders taken. And they're taking venison during deer hunting. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
All right, back here at the studio talking cross country with John Sherb. John, just the one event this past week.
Yeah, we had the Camden Conference meet on Tuesday down in Canby. It was a good meet. You know, the weather was a lot warmer I'd like to see. A lot of kids, you know, again, they aren't used to that heat thing, but everybody's got to run and say, everybody, you know, runs the same thing in the same heat, but it's still, some just don't have that mental fortitude, as I like to say, to be able to handle that extreme change. But with little wind and, you know, and some warmth. So, but, you know, I thought our kids really competed well. It wasn't, you know, our biggest, you know, best race of the year, but I thought they did compete very well with the level we're at. Okay. And of course, the Canby course is a challenging course. The footing's tough and spot, and there's some hills and rolls to it. So you got to really be smart and you got to really, really be head up. And, you know, and that's always can be a good or bad thing with it. And, you know, we haven't seen the course in many, many years, but that's just the way it is. And with our schedule to get something, it's tough to get in. But kids went after it really well. They ran a junior high course. That was a 2K course. Talia Hersham was fifth overall in the girls' race, 9:07. Aiden Bond was eighth at 9:42. Celeste Jenkins was 12th at 10:14. Junior high boys ran the same course also, what the junior high girls did. Matthew Bothan was fourth at 7:57. Max Bothan was 15th at 9:49. Aaron Will was 17th at 11 flat. And then Eddie Felton was 14th at 9:29. You know, we've got some young talent coming up. It's going to work. And we threw some young talent up a little higher than maybe they're quite ready, but we need to find out where they're at when we get into the section of meet. Varsity race was next. You know, top 10 were all conference. You know, our goal was we thought we'd get two girls all conference. That was kind of our goal. We kind of also see where we could fit in with the Canby Fortress, what they've got there. They're the sound. I mean, it'd be sixth in state. There's a reason why they're sixth in state. But just see if we could, you know, kind of, you know, get into them a little bit. And we did in spots. It's just, again, we got caught in a no-man's land. Cause it turned into like a dual meet. Same thing with the boys. You know, it's Canby and us, and then kind of, you know, filter in some other kids. So it made a little bit spacing. There wasn't, you know, there's gaps all over the place. You know, 30-second gap, 40-second gap here. And if you're caught in one of those gaps mentally, it can you know, take you down. And we had some of the kids get caught in that spot and not where we wanted to see. But Chloe Glager was our top runner. She was fourth. She gets the all-conference, and that's her second all-conference at 21:38. Bryn Glager, her sister, got to be all conference too. She got 10th at 22:47. So, you know, as a seventh grader, that's good to see you step in like she did to fit into, you know, and it gets tough at times. Brooklyn Sterrett was 12th at 23:11. Taylor Wood was 14th at 23:35. Tegan Conroy was 15th at 23:40. Sadie Rosendahl was 25th at 24:56. And then Harper Grenholz was 19th at 24:21. So if you look at, we added in two young ones that haven't really seen any varsity race competition at all, and see how they handle it. And I thought they handled it very well. And, you know, there's some tough spots. You know, one had a side ache, but that's just, again, your flow of how to handle it. You know, nerves, I mean, that's each up. Canby girls won it with 17. We were second with 51. CMC was 81. TMB was 112. And Lakeview was 122. So two kids all conference on the girls' side, which is good to see. Varsity boys, we just haven't been able to really run a solid five. I mean, we've been inconsistent and one leg's off here, one leg's off. And when you're not as deep as we've been years past, if you have one leg off, you're in trouble. And that's where we ran well. I thought we had some really good races on spots, and we just missed a couple of key legs in there that hurt us, that we could have helped ourselves better. But you compete, you go at it, and what happens. And, you know, if you're looking for excuses, you're in the wrong sport, because, again, you still got to compete, and that's the things you look at. Gavin Carr, I thought, ran soundly all the way through. Got into that roly-poly course, and then he got second overall, 17:23, so he's all-conference. Caden Clark was 7th at 18:23. He's all-conference. Eli Hagelin is 8th at 18:38, all-conference also. So we put three in that top eight, which is good. Problem is, Canby's had their top three also in there, so it's, now you're nickel and diming each other. James Weber just missed it as a heap is 11th at 19:18. Luke Stock was 14th at 19:38. Joseph Felton was 13th at 19:37. Cade Solomon was 27th at 20:34. Scoring wise, really, really close. Couple, you know, again, we talk about one person here, one person there. You have that. Scoring, Canby was 1 with 33. We were 2nd, 37. Lakeview was 3rd at 81. Ortonville at 104. And TMB at 115. JV girls ran the 5K course also. Daytona Bissett was our top runner. She was 4th, 24:09. Reese Oxdorf was 5th at 25:03. Grace Voss, Micaiah Poos was 6th at 25:31. Grace Vosick was 7th at 25:32. Melissa Swinski was 11th at 26:58. Shea Bach was 13th at 27:24. Abigail Alonso was 19th at 30:03. JV Boys, Landon Keeman continues to grow, and that's what we got to have in the future. He was 6th at 20:37. Then Charlie Will was 10th at 21:34. Brody Nelson was 11th at 21:45. Max Sokoloff was 17th at 23:34. Blake Thompson was 12th at 21:50. Hudson Giese was 22nd at 25:06. Brendan Sherb was 24th at 25:38. So, again, like I said, I thought we had a good conference meet. Wasn't our greatest. But, again, you compete at whatever you have for that day, and some days you don't have it, and that's just the way it is. And so we'll continue to go on.
Yeah, you mentioned Canby is a tough course, a lot of side hills, you know, and you got to look out for spraining an ankle or something too, but it's the same way for everybody. Yeah,
it is, and that's things. You compete and you survive and you move on to the next one, because the next one is even bigger yet, so that's kind of your look at.
Well, let's talk about that. Your regular season is over, and that completes the season for the junior high and the JV. All it is left now is a section tournament just for the varsity.
Yep, and that will be, you know, the 26th here in Madison. That will be a 4 o'clock start with the varsity boys, and then by, I think it's about 4:45 or so, 4:40 is the varsity girls will follow at, and then, you know, top two teams are automatic, and then they'll take the next six of non-qualifiers to qualify for the state meet. So, you know, you got a lot of different variables in there that can help you or hurt you, and as you're trying to get in individually and also trying to get a team. So,
right.
You know, I think, you know, if you look at it, I think on the boys' side, it's pretty much two teams in there. Wyndham is a third team that's kind of snuck in there lately. So I think on the boys, you're going to look at Laverne and also Redwood and then Wyndham. After that, you never know. I know Mountain Lake has ran well, so kind of look at that. The boys, I mean, the girls' side, you're going to look at Redwood, who's just been having a dream season and running so well, and they've had a great season. Canby's right with them. Actually, I don't know. I know Laverne's been a little nicked up a little bit. Mountain Lake was good last year, so you really don't know who's going to come out of that third slot, and, you know, see where we fit in. So, you know, it's going to be the key, you know. Think about really our best options is, you know, is Gavin in the boys' race. He's right on the bubble. Last year was too short, so we're hopefully we can kind of get above that spot, and then Chloe was one off last year, so we'll hopefully get her in that top spot. Right. So it'll be fun, but, you know, the weather is going to be a big change going from, what, 70 we had on Tuesday to about 47 and maybe some little rain or damp. So big changeover. That's Minnesota weather.
It is. And how many teams are in the section?
23 teams are in the section.
23 teams, yeah. So that, you had a kind of a pre-section meet out there, kind of took a poll with the teams that were there, and I think they liked the course. It's a little bit different than it's been in the past, but I think they liked that.
Yeah, they did. They liked the change. They liked the tempo. So, it was good to see, and that's what you're always looking to improve, and that's what we're looking at, and okay. I thought they handled well.
So, 4 o'clock start, and parking has got a premium, so you want to get there early.
Yeah, it's going to fill in fast, and, our parking lot is going to be pretty big, compared to a lot of other places. But, you're going to have to get there early. You're going to have to probably park in the back streets. I know they don't want any parking on Highway 75 just because of the danger with all the grain coming in and out of the farmers. So got that. And same thing with the elevator. We've got to stay out of there. So we've got kind of a limited area, but we've got some backup plans set to go.
Sure. Okay. Thanks for the report. Best of luck on Thursday. I know Paul will be out there. And we will talk about it on the next Culture Show next Saturday morning.
All right, perfect.
John Sherb on Cross Country. We'll get on the phone and call the tennis coach, Dr. Brant Hacker, after this.
Life in Minnesota has its perks. Big cities, small towns, delicious food, great outdoors, and unleaded 88 fuel. Unleaded 88 is a better fuel that's cleaner burning, and it costs less than regular unleaded. And with a higher octane rating, it's better for your vehicle too. Look for the yellow 88 octane button the next time you fill up, or find unleaded 88 at a station near you at betterfuel.org. Brought to you by your local Lacaparral County corn and soybean growers and their checkoffs.
The Don Luce Retirement Auction will be held Saturday, October 21st, starting at 11 a.m. at 3732 Highway 67, Boyd, Minnesota. Watch for the auction signs. Auctioneers Nathan Chaden, Eugene Lorenzen, and Bill Hugger. Lots of items up for sale, many antiques. There will be shop items and tools. There's a lot of lumber for sale, including some very nice oak. This is the Don Luce Auction, Saturday, October 21st, starting at 11 a.m., 3732 Highway 67, Boyd. Check out the auction online at sdauctions.com. That's sdauctions.com.
At First Security Bank in Canby, they'd like to remind area farmers that experience counts. Like farming, ag lending isn't something you learn overnight, and it's not something you can learn from a book either. First Security Bank in Canby has many years of professional experience in agricultural lending and all types of guaranteed loan programs. For farm operating, livestock, or real estate financing, see the experienced staff at First Security Bank of Canby, wishing the Canby Lancers the best of luck. First Security Bank of Canby, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender, and proud sponsor of the L.A. Amundsen Scholarship Program.
Back here at the studio, talking girls tennis, and we had some great results, but I don't think we've talked for a couple weeks, so let's go through that section tournament, Dr. Hacker.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for having me. Yep. So we were able to, individual sections happen a little differently in tennis than they do in other sports, so we had played our team section on October 5th. We lost in that first round in a tight one, but that ended our team season. So the following week, on Thursday, we went down to Sioux Falls to play indoor individuals. And we have two entries into the singles lineup and two entries into the doubles tournament. So Hannah Oy and Kayla Jan, usually our 1 and 2 singles players, went over to doubles. And that put Sadie Hacker and Elsie Wiebe into our singles bracket. Sadie and Elsie both had some good matches. Unfortunately, Elsie ended up lining up against the one seed in the singles bracket, and was able to take a game off of her. That's Brooke Lindemann over in Monty, but lost 6-1, 6-0. Kind of cutting to the chase, Brooke was one of the two gals who made it to state, so Elsie was facing off against some tough competition there. Sadie Hacker ended up facing off against the number one player from Pipestone, Colm, and played, was ahead in the first set even, 5-2, but just couldn't close things out, ended up losing in a tiebreaker 7-6, and then lost that second set 6-0. So that ended our singles entries for the year. Coming over to the doubles entries, we had, like I mentioned, Hannah Oy and Kayla Jan were one of the doubles entries, and then we went with our other doubles entry, which was our true doubles, Gertie Sieg and Taylin Jorgensen, and they played our one doubles for the season. They ended up, Taylin and Gertie ended up facing off against a YME team. We were the ninth seed, YME the eighth seed, and Gertie and Taylin did a really nice job, won a win out there, 6-4, 6-3, and then ended up facing off against Morris, and ended up losing to Morris 6-4, 6-2. Morris was the one seed in the doubles bracket, actually. So a strong team for sure, but just couldn't pull the win out there. Going back to Hannah Oy and Kayla Jan, they ended up with our sixth seed in the doubles bracket, and they faced off against a Morris 11th seed, ended up pulling out a win there 6-2, 6-4, and that put them into the second round the same day. They faced off the third seeded team from Laverne, and Kayla and Hannah did a really nice job just in that second match, cleaning up some of the errors they made in the first, and they pulled out a pretty strong win, 6-2, 6-1 against Laverne. So that put us into the semifinals for doubles with Kayla and Hannah. And that just happened on October 17th, so it was a few days ago now, but just seems like yesterday, actually. Lots been happening since then. So we faced off against Benson, and we kind of knew, so the four teams that were left was, there was a Morris entry, the one seed, Monty, which was a four seed, and then Benson, a two seed, and we knew that, honestly, out of those four, not including us, those other three, Benson was probably the toughest out. We ended up putting up a good fight, but ended up losing 6-4, 6-2 to Benson, and Benson actually went on to win the championship for the doubles there. That put us into a lineup against Monty, kind of playing for a true second, actually. So we had to beat Monty, and then we had to beat Morris to go on. So our first match was against Monty. It was a little bit rough. The gals pulled it out in a three-setter. It wasn't exactly pretty. I'm sure they would probably say the same thing. They were actually down 4-1 in the third set, and things were not looking good for them. We just talked about, what do you have to lose here, right? I mean, go out and play. There's no sense playing careful. I mean, a lot of times in tennis, when you get ahead or you get behind, you start playing not to lose anymore. And playing not to lose is always a recipe for losing, honestly. It's right? Just like most sports, you got to play to win. Right. So if you're not aggressive, if you're not trying to take control of the point, and you're not moving the ball around, right? If you're just trying to get it back in play, that really gives an opportunity to that other team. And when you're playing in the last, if you're in the semis for your section, the other teams are all solid. They are not going to, let you, or if you give them an easy ball, they're definitely going to take advantage of that and make you pay. So, Hannah and Kayla did a really nice job kind of getting their heads in the right spot, turned things around, and picked up that third set, 6-4. So Monty didn't get another game after them after being down that far. So they did a nice job there. I think that momentum carried them into the match with Morris. Morris was going to be a tougher match, we knew, probably, than Monty. Like I said, they were the one seed. But Hannah and Kayla did a really nice job. Their second match seems to be the better of the day here, but they played very well against Morris, cleaned things up a lot, and picked up the win there in pretty lopsided two sets going our direction. So that puts us into second place for sections, and gets Kayla and Hannah a trip down to state. So that's where we're heading next week.
That's right. And where is that?
Yeah, that's at a facility called Reed Sweat, right. or it's also known as Inner City Tennis. It's on the western side of Minneapolis. So we'll be down there. There's two entries from each section. So there's 16 total double teams that go. We know that Kayla and Hannah, which the draws came out a couple days ago. So we know they faced off against a very solid team from Staples. I mean, you don't get to state without being a solid team. So, but I think you get down there, you just believe in yourself, and you play, you know, give it what you've got. You put it on the court and let the chips fall where they will, right? I mean,
right.
You can't control the wins or losses. You've got to be out there, just play your game, and not try to play that other team's game. So that's what we're going to do. Come, we're next Thursday morning at 8 o'clock in the city.
Ooh, right away. So you'll go down the night before and probably.
Yes.
Do you get time to practice on the facility at all?
Well, yeah, I was lucky enough. I got on the ball this time, and I called as soon as that we won within an hour. I was calling to get court time. So yeah, we have some time to go in and hit just to get a feel for the facility. I mean,
okay.
Every indoor court plays a little different.
Right.
The lighting's different. It's just good to get a feel for it. So when you walk out there to play your match, you're not on it for the first time.
Right. Well, I know you hustled back from Sioux Falls for the final home football game, and the girls came up at halftime, and Paul interviewed them, and like I told you before we went on the air, I don't think their feet were still on the ground yet. They were really excited, and big smiles on their face.
You know, and good for them. They worked hard. Both of them put a lot of time in the offseason. They're definitely very motivated, right? They're definitely interested in picking up those wins and playing to the best of their ability, and both of them are pretty frustrated when that doesn't happen. So, you know, they weren't sure if they were going to go singles or doubles. They thought about it a little bit for individuals and decided, you know, their better opportunity was as a doubles team, and they made a good choice. And, you know, as singles players, when you put them together and play doubles, it's always kind of a little bit of a crapshoot, honestly, because singles is very different strategy-wise from doubles, and playing one all season and then moving into the other at the end and only having about 3 days to practice before you start playing off. That can be kind of rough. We've tried it in the past, and a lot of teams, other section teams, do it. Honestly, we went down to seed for our doubles tournament, and there were 16 entries in our section, and of those 16 teams, only five were actually true doubles teams that had played doubles for the whole season. Really, so those other 11 entries are much like I'm doing, or what we did. You know, two singles players, or maybe a singles and a doubles player. They're just trying to put their strongest team together. But yeah, Hannah and Killa did a nice job transitioning over to doubles.
Okay.
So
good. Well, I'm sure you'll call back results, or some of the parents will, on Thursday for the radio station, and hopefully Paul can get some interviews with that as well. So
that would be great.
Best of luck.
Hey, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
That's Dr. Brant Hacker on girls tennis. We'll take this break and have the volleyball report after this.
All of your family's eye care needs are found under one roof. Heartland Eye Care Centers. We welcome patients of any age, from pediatrics to geriatrics, from our comprehensive eye exams and vision correction to our management of age-related eye diseases. Heartland Eye Care Center wants to help you see our world as clearly as possible. Our warm and friendly doctors believe that personalized care is as important as the latest advances in eye care. We're Heartland Eye Care Centers in Marshall, Camby, and Dawson.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me Monday evening for Section 3A volleyball playoffs from Dawson Boyd High School when the Blackjacks host the La Caparo Valley Eagles. The winner moves on, the loser's done for the season. 7 o'clock first serve, that's the Blackjacks and the Eagles in Section 3A volleyball playoffs right here on Q92 Monday night.
Let's take a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. The Haunted Hayride at Lackbarrow County Park will be this evening. Cost is $5 per person. Family-friendly rides from 5 to 6. Scary rides from 6 to 8:30 this evening at Lackbarrow County Park. Milan Fire Department fundraising steak fry coming up this evening from 5 to 9. $15 for a top sirloin, 10-ounce sirloin, baked potato, and all the trimmings. Kids' meal for $4, hot dogs and chips and milk. That's at the Milan American Legion, 5 to 9 this evening. You're invited to the Roast Beef Commercial Take and Go Fundraiser at St. Peter's Church in Canby Sunday, 11 to 1:30 or until they run out. Donations will be accepted for this fundraiser for youth to attend the National Catholic Youth Convention in November. Roast Beef Commercials include slice of roast beef on bread with mashed potatoes and homemade gravy. Donations will be accepted. This is a takeout-only fundraiser in Canby on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran Church of Madison is hosting a takeout pork chop dinner on Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Cost is $15. Delivery is available in Madison by calling 320-598-7550. There will be no dine-in option. That's takeout-only meal at St. John's on Sunday. On this 21st day of October, we say happy birthday to Kim Kuchenmeister over at Madison Optical, Kathy Bergeson, Brandon Bornhorst, Janice Strike, Josh Fossum, Julie Drobny, Curtis Dahl, Dylan Lilliard, and then on Sunday, happy birthday to Steve Schmidt, Paul Polotsky, and Maury Shocker. Hope you all have a great day.
And we want to add to the birthday list on for Sunday, happy 90th birthday to James Buckman over there in Dawson.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do with all the money you save?
What you gonna do with all the money you save when you take advantage of fall favorites this week at Jubilee Foods in Madison? Fresh squash, just 89 cents a pound. Get 2 3-pound bags of Fuji, Macintosh, Gala, red or golden delicious apples, just $5. Many savings in the meat department and store-wide at Jubilee Foods in Madison, where they bag your groceries and carry it right to your car.
What you gonna do with all the money you save?
Okay, back here at the radio station, talking volleyball with head coach Brooklyn Gould. And you had practice this morning, and a good way to get ready for Monday's match in the section. But before that, you finished out your regular season at home, same day as the home football game, and it was pink night.
Yep.
For breast cancer awareness, and yep. Good crowd at both events.
Yep. Yeah, so three, 4 weeks ago, our AD had reached out to us about switching times of the game because we both played on the same night.
Right.
So we thought it was a good opportunity for both of us to kind of do, I don't want to call it Dig Pink because the football team did it too, so we just call it Cancer Awareness Night.
Right. Okay.
So we joined and we sold T-shirts and we made $500 off of T-shirts. And then we also did like a bake sale at the football and volleyball game. So we were able to raise like $975. And we actually donated all the money to the Madison and Appleton Hospice program and to help people that go there that have cancer too. So it was just nice to be able to join with the football team and doing something together. It was kind of exciting having our game and then going to a football game right after. It was kind of weird, but it was nice because we were all playing together. And then at our volleyball game too, we did the same thing as we did last year. Every girl either played in honor or memory of someone, and then they would bring a pink rose out to either that person that has battled cancer or a family or a friend, loved one. So we try during when we do our cancer awareness night, we really try to personalize it with our community because everybody's always talking about cancer awareness and raising money for it, but it means more when we're doing it with our community members. And then our girls actually wore our pink JO jerseys too, so it was nice that we had enough to do that.
Right. Good.
Yeah, and then so we played TMB in we lost in three sets. So the first set it was 11-25, set 2 26-28, and set 3 22-25. And I thought our girls played well, but it's just we really struggle with the energy and trying to tell the girls that when we're talking and we have that energy, you have momentum. And we did not play with very much enthusiasm against TMB, so that was a little frustrating just because that's one thing I've been kind of preaching all year is we need to be talking the whole time. Everybody needs to be talking. It can't just be one girl, and that one girl isn't always doing it. So we've been really working hard and trying to talk about that the last week. So against TMB, kill-wise, Brandy Meyer led us with 9, Jalen had 6, Callie had 5, and then Jada and Caitlin had 3. Ace-wise, Jalen had 2, Abby had 2, Caitlin had 1, and Jada had 3. Digs, Claire led us with 13, then Caitlin had 12, Brandy had 9, Jalen had 6, Jada had 8, and Callie had 1. We didn't have any blocks that night, so that kind of is one of those things, like, we've been working on blocking a lot the last couple of weeks, and we didn't even get one block. So we really, the last couple of days here, we've been really working on timing of the block. So hopefully that gets better going against Dawson. But overall, I mean, our numbers are a little bit low, but when you only go three sets, they're going to be a little low. And then I was able to get Peyton Sachs into the game, too, and she played some back row for us. So it was nice being able to get her in there to play some back row as well.
Okay. Yeah. B-squad, C-squad?
B-squad ended up losing. C-squad ended up winning. The NRC and B-squad, they're pretty young. You know, we pulled up 2 7th graders and 2 8th graders this year. And our C squad's been doing pretty good. I mean, I feel like all three of our squads kind of have this roller coaster ride that we're riding. But that kind of what happens when you're pulling up younger girls and having athletes that haven't really played together ever in any sport. So it's nice, though, when I talk to other coaches, they always tell me that, you know, your C and B squad are so young, they're going to be so good here in a couple of years. So, you know, it's like hearing those things and then letting our girls know that, too, because it is hard when you have some 7th graders playing against like 10th and 11th graders. It is a lot, and it is frustrating. So giving them those little pick-me-ups, like, you know, these coaches, like, they're like, holy moly, your 7th and 8th grade, 9th grade girls are so good. And, you know, they always appreciate hearing those things, too, to pick them up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, then your season, regular season is over, just like football and cross-country, and next is the section tournament, and you start already on Monday.
Yep, we head over to Dawson. So we got the 9th seed, so Dawson got the A seed, so that since they're the higher seed, they get to play at home. And, you know, I think my girls are just, they really want to win, and they've been telling me this and working hard, and remind them, you know, Dawson really wants to win too.
Right.
And they beat us that first round, and there were some things that weren't really in our favor against that game. You know, I don't necessarily agree with some of the calls that the refs had made, but it's just, it's kind of nice, though, because it is fun playing, like, Dawson, because, you know, when you're playing these, like, we have four or five teams that are ranked in the top of the state, so in our section, so it's really hard when you're constantly playing those teams, and, you know, it's just, like, set after set after set, we're just losing, and it's nice playing a team like Dawson because we're very comparable. We're even. We both have both teams have some really good hitters, got some, we're scrappy when we play each other. So I'm very excited that we get to be able to play Dawson. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be a big crowd just because it's Dawson and Lacaparo playing each other.
Sure.
But, you know, we're really excited and excited to play a team that we know we can compete with too.
Yeah. And I had the honor of being at the regular season match between them, and student section for both communities or both schools was fantastic.
Oh yeah, and you know, they're not very mean, like they obviously know each other, you know, these fans, and
sure,
it's nice hearing them cheer and being obnoxious, but they're not being mean obnoxious, you know, they get along. So that's one thing that, you know, we do enjoy playing
right.
with Dawson too, is like they both get rowdy, but they're not being they're at least like there's good sportsmanship.
Not to put you on the spot, but would you have the full section alignment matchup?
Yeah.
Anything? Sure.
Yeah, so do you, like, to who's playing or, like, what
Correct.
The rankings
yeah.
are? Okay. So on Monday, we play Dawson at home, and then Lakeview and Wyoming play each other at Lakeview, since Lakeview got the 7 seed. And then, depending on who wins our game, they'll go over to Mineota. And then Renville and Wabasa will play on the 27th. McCray and CMCS will play at McCray on the 27th. And then, depending who wins against Lakeview and Wyoming, will play in PMB on the 27th.
Okay. And
yep.
You mentioned the powerhouses, some
yeah.
great teams. Every year, the section does very well. In
yep.
the state tournament.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I went to the state tournament last year, you know, I was talking to some people, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're in the Camden Conference, like, I feel so bad for you.
Right.
You know, so it's like when you hear those things that, you know, and then you go to the state tournament, and you're seeing, like, Mineota and some of these teams beating people in three, it is kind of frustrating, but like, it's not one of those things where I'm going to sit here and complain about it. I'm like, okay, now, like, how am I going to build my girls to get there? And it's going to take, you know, some time. I came in last year with some really athletic seniors, so we had a good season. And it's kind of, you know, every year is different. And I need that opportunity to build a couple years to build some of my younger girls so they know the expectations. And then when they get to my level, we're teaching them more in-depth skills. So, you know, I don't think of it as like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. This is so frustrating. It's just like, okay, how do I get them to that point? Because, you know, we can do it. We can get there at some point, but it's just building the girls up when they're a little bit younger too.
Okay. Well, the regular season is over for the C squad and B squad. And we will be talking about that in a future program or coaches show, but best of luck on Monday.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dick.
Yeah. That's Brooklyn Gold on girls volleyball. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
Canby Meat Center right on Canby's Main Street is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 to noon. This week, marinated sirloin steaks are just $6.99 a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Arm Roast, $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Arm Steak, $6.29 a pound. Pick up some center-cut boneless thick pork chops at $2.29 a pound. Homemade Polish sausage and coarse ground wieners just $5.99 a pound. And St. Louis ribs just $1.99 a pound at the Canby Meat Center. Give them a call, 507-223-5292. Like them on Facebook. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, October 20th through Monday, October 23rd, held over for the final weekend in Theater 1, The Hill, rated PG. And in theater number 2, it's The Exorcist, rated R. That's The Exorcist Believer, rated R, in theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
It's Section 5A football playoffs from Canby on Tuesday. The Canby Lancers, the fourth seed in Section 5A, will host the fifth-seeded Lacaparral Valley Eagles. 7 o'clock kickoff Tuesday night. That's the Eagles and the Lancers in Section 5A football playoffs. Tuesday night right here on Q92.
Tickets are now on sale for the Madison Area Chamber of Commerce annual Super Raffle. Top prize is $2,000, second prize $1,000. There will be two $500 prizes, and then five $200 winners. So $5,000 in prize money to be given away. The drawing coming up Friday, November 10th, 6:30 p.m. during Norse Fest at the Madison VFW. And only 100 tickets will be sold. They're $100 each. Available at the Chamber office, the radio station building, downtown Madison, Minnesota. Get your Madison Area Chamber of Commerce Super Raffle ticket today. They sell out every year.
Back here at the Culture Show, another nice Culture Show that we had. Just remember, volleyball plays in Dawson at 7 o'clock for the section, cross country at 4 o'clock on Thursday, and the football game on Tuesday down in Canby. And Q92 will be at all those events. So I'll close the show with the Dick Newman. Got three of them, sick joke of the week. First off, do you think that swimming with sharks is expensive? Well, swimming with sharks cost me an arm and a leg. Number two, what kind of a car does an egg drive? Of course, it's a yokes wagon. And I used to be addicted to soap, but I'm clean now. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.